Welcome to part two of the MVPs of 2016 podcast, where we're going to be wrapping up the year with the rest of our MVP list. It's the Ave Podcast on South Shore Ave Radio, and it starts right now. Next up, Netflix continued to create groundbreaking shows, including Narcos, Luke Cage, which deserves more podcast time down the line. Daredevil, Making the Murderer, The Get Down, Stranger Things, The Voltron Reboot, the Chelsea Handler Talk Show, The 13th documentary by Ava DuVernay, which was honestly, Deshaun, that was phenomenal. What I love about Netflix, though, is that it's allowed for more creative freedom that wouldn't be possible on cable networks. And now they're allowing options to download their content online.
So,
on top of that, with a lot of these award shows, they basically almost, I wouldn't say dominated, but they've had a major impact on nominations for award shows because their content is really good, at least the shows that they create and stand behind. So for me, they definitely get an MVP now for that.
Yeah, for sure. Plus the fact that when your platform becomes synonymous with basically being defined as sex, so you know what I mean? Netflix and chill just basically mean we're effing. That is a pretty impressive thing in and of itself. That's one. And two is the fact that if you're able to pay both Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle $60 million for three, either whatever form of show it is, or if it's, I'm not sure of the details, but I heard if it's a comedy special or a show, whatever, that shows the kind of revenue you're making. You're paying them each $60 million for three shows each. You're winning, man.
And on top of that, with Chappelle, I think for Chappelle, he has to, it's three specials, it's $60 million for three specials. Only one of them has to be new, so he can release his previous stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. From at least that's the rumor. Anyway, I don't know if that's fully confirmed, but that's the rumor. And if that's the case, I mean, my God. So basically, you're getting paid $60 million for one show.
This dude is, I mean, Netflix is winning. And he's winning too.
What?
Man, if you tell me you're going to hire me for a job and I'm getting paid and I only got to do part of my job over again, brother, and I'm winning. Dave Chappelle, we got to add him to the list.
Oh, no. 100%. And honestly, he took a major flack. He took, you know, his name got dragged through the mud for quitting on his own show 10 years ago or 11 years ago. Yeah. But that's a testament to true genius and true talent, man. It never dies. Yeah. You know, and I mean, with Chappelle, you never felt like he was going to fall off a cliff and that was it. He's never coming back again. He was always funny. I mean, that type of funny, you don't just lose that. Like, if, you know, like somebody like Eddie Murphy is always going to be funny. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what movies he does. If he decides to do a comedy show today, it's probably gonna break records just for anticipation alone, because everybody respects a genius. So with Dave Chappelle, he stayed away from the limelight, but you know, he was always still doing shows. Like he always came here into Toronto and did shows and ripped them all the time.
So
100% credit to him for sure. Like, that's, I said, genius and true talent never die. You know, so that's a testament to that for sure. So next up, Barack Obama. He's leaving office and Trump replaces him. That's enough, right? To be the MVP candidate?
Man, you couldn't imagine a better swan song for him. Goodness gracious. That's the best way to go out. Next year, people are going to be clamoring to wherever Obama is, just begging him to come back, trying to find a way to change the laws to get this guy another term. It's going to be crazy. That's if World War III hasn't just obliterated everybody by that point.
Yeah. We'll see. His family had no scandals. He got a bunch of racial backlash, of course, including his wife, which I think the mayor or some, either the mayor, the senator, I can't remember the or the governor of West Virginia. I can't remember the full story. But,
oh yeah, so it said something about a monkey.
Yeah, calling her a monkey in a dress.
Gorilla on top of that.
Meanwhile, the next first lady elect, well, you know, was in Playboy at one point, but you know, we won't speak on that. But
we can Google and see naked picture. We can see the first lady spreading eagle, and
right.
They're talking about and the people, the albino gorilla said something like, "Oh, it's good to have a she didn't say respectable, but at least someone a first lady that we can look at again or some shit."
Yeah, so again, I mean, remember, the media was up in arms for Michelle Obama showing her arms in a dress.
Jeez.
You know what I'm saying? And meanwhile, the first lady for the next 4 years, you can just click Google and find a bunch of naked pictures of her, you know?
But, and then this guy that's affecting change now is costing $1 million a day in Secret Service. Don't get me started with this freaking ridiculous nonsense. Honestly, I don't even start with that. Goodness gracious.
That,
before we
that might
get the alt-right threatening your show.
But again, with the Obamas, I mean, he's more popular than ever. He's honestly maybe on the level of Clinton and Kennedy at this point in terms of his popularity rating. I'm interested to see what his next move is going to be, you know, post office. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what he does. Because, I mean, honestly, he has the charisma and the power to honestly go in any direction with it he wants at this point.
Man, the charisma and the cachet that this man had and what he was able to accomplish despite the fact that the Republicans openly made it publicly known that they would try for the whole two terms to just thwart anything that he tried to put into place, even if it meant to the being the detriment of their own citizenship, their own population. Sorry, in the U.S., the fact that people are going to look back and be like, "Wow, like, we really had something there we didn't appreciate it, man." When they see what this frigging buffoon Trump does.
Next up, the Knowles sisters, Beyonce and Solange. So Beyonce had the Lemonade album that might be the R&B album of the year. It was definitely the most popular and definitely her most socially charged album she's ever put out. The whole moniker of Becky with the good hair, that dominated social media and everywhere else for the longest while. And
they got caught slipping, boy. Yay. They got too comfortable.
And
Beyonce was too busy to notice.
And then Solange dropped A Seat at the Table, which might be the most unexpected gem of an album that we've seen in years. It's influenced by the social conditions of today. Cranes in the Sky, her song, might be on the short list of songs of the year. Albums like hers, honestly, and this is what we were kind of discussing before, it represents the new wave of music being made in 2016, which is consisting of making creative music to the best of their abilities. So it's no longer focusing on the songs for the radio or for the club. It doesn't matter the tempo of it. Plus, with everything that's been happening this year, more albums, at least the best ones I've heard, have been more socially and politically conscious. And they're changing the format of how albums have been made. So I think I gotta tip my hat to the Knowles sisters, man, because they, I mean, Beyonce is already a big star, and you know, like, everything she puts out, she has a Midas touch right now, like few artists have. You know,
she's consistently, if we would have been doing this like for the past 4 years, she'd be a consistent fixture in each year. But it's just Solange. She came from back in the that's like Seth Curry next year, you know what I mean? With an MVP, like, what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, that was unexpected. Like, no, everybody wrote Solange off. Her highest moment was her foot accident in the elevator with Jay-Z.
Yeah.
That was the most publicity she got.
Yeah, trying to give Hov the Hayuken, basically, right?
Exactly. Now that she came and did this, I mean, she solidified herself now as a, I mean, and I'll say, as an authentic artist, I'll plead the ignorance, I should say. She could have been great before. I never even gave it a chance.
Yeah, and that's a funny thing. She always gets knocked as like the, you know, like in terms of musically, she gets knocked as like the black sheep sister. But I mean, I've listened to her previous albums before. Like, they're quality. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, they're not on the level of, not as major as Beyonce's, of course, but but they don't suck. You know what I mean? Like, that's that. I'll give her that for sure. Like, some of her albums I enjoyed. You know,
hey, it's 2016. I'm a sheep like everybody else. I bit to the Solange Knowles challenge, which was hardly a challenge. I just listened to her song and like, oh, I guess everybody's right. She's good, because that song is dope. I haven't listened to the album, but people say the album is great.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I've given it a hard listen in the last few weeks, and you know, it definitely gets rated. The Cranes in the Sky. She has a song called Borderline. FUBU. Yeah, like she's winning. She's definitely winning with that album for sure. But like I said, her album just basically represents a new wave. Basically, it's about the artist, man. The power is in the artist. They're just making music now. They're not worried about, man, I gotta make something for the clubs. I gotta make something for the strip clubs. I gotta make something for, you know, for radio or for pop. You know, I gotta make something for, you know, the top 40 crowd that they'll like. They're just making music now, and it's basically up to the consumer to select what we like and what we think is hot. It's, you know, it's the power is in the artist, and it's trickling down to the people. So basically, we're getting the options now to choose what we like. So that's where I kind of like where it's going. You know what I mean? In terms of that aspect, if we can keep the same level of creativity, you know what I mean, in terms of albums being made and the content and everything else, it's an interesting time right now, you know, and it's interesting. It's definitely interesting for sure. All right, next up on the list, A Tribe Called Quest and De La Soul. So here's two groups that came out from the golden era and both dropped albums in 2016 that actually charted number one on the charts at some point in time, and respectively with the Anonymous Nobody and Thank You For Your Service, We Got It From Here. Even with all the new age millennial hip hop, there's still a market for our golden era rappers, Sean, to make moves, especially these guys.
Who would have thought that? I gotta say, the Tribe Called Quest thing floored me. I'm not sure to what degree or how successful they would have been without Fife passing. God bless his soul. De La Soul, I paid zero interest at all. Despite the fact that I absolutely really used to dig De La Soul is dead, and you know, kind of the other album titles at this point in time. But I tell you who lost this year is the Lox. Oh my gosh.
Really?
I heard their recent album is horrible.
Really?
People say it's good, or I don't know. People tell them it's good. Maybe they're just afraid of the Lox. I have no idea. But I've heard other podcasts where they've been interviewed, and people like they're really doing their rounds now socially. But man, the album's corny. The skits in between are just over toughified. Like, I don't know, I'm the Lox. We're the Lox. We'll slap you in the face. Every song is how we're killers and murderers. Like, oh, come on, it's like bad, man. And it's not even. I'm not above gratuitous violence rap and. We move so many keys, you need the scale that they weigh the whales with. I'm down with that, but it's just crap.
Really? I haven't had a chance to take it in yet, actually. But so it's definitely not on the level of top five that are alive then.
Lord have mercy. Like, we could strike that from the history records. It'd be better that way. Crap. Yeah.
And you know what? I'll disagree with you in a sense with Tribe success off the album, because I think they're just so loved. They got that universal love that I think even if Fife was alive, I think they would still be number one, just because people love Tribe, man. You know what I mean? And I think that it doesn't matter what they do, whatever they put out, when they actually put out stuff since they've broken up, it's always gotten a universal love. You know, anytime they've gone to a concert, it's always completely sold out. So I think if they would have, like, I mean, they announced that, because you heard it earlier in the year that they were putting out an album, or at least there was rumors of it. Yeah, you knew that, you know, everybody was going to be looking out for it. And I'll be honest, I just think the album's okay. But, you know, I'm happy that they're having the success that they're having.
So let me ask you, and this comes from someone who admittedly didn't listen to the album because I just wasn't that interested. But I heard Jarobi raps.
Yeah.
What did Jarobi do before Jarobi rapped in this album? He wasn't a producer, right?
No, he just
Like a hype man, as
Q-Tip loves to say, he's the embodiment, the spirit of the group. But I mean, he raps and stuff. He sounds all right. Doesn't sound bad.
Yeah. Just as a PSA, if there's anybody looking for an embodiment for a successful group, I'm more than willing to fit that role. If Jerobi could just be known because he knows them, and they just wanted to have his big thigh ass have himself, you know, tagging along, left my wallet in El Segundo from back then, brother. Man, oh man. Hey, I'm for the hiring. Trust me. Bring me on board, man. I'll tell jokes. I'll do whatever I gotta do.
You'll do social media challenges, whatever they got, right?
Man, challenge. You name the challenge, I'll do it. if that's your criteria, if that's what you need, I could be down by bringing energy. Man, I'll bring energy, boy. Trust me. Whatever energy you want, I'll manufacture energy. Trust me.
We got two more nominees left here. Donald Glover, otherwise known as Childish Gambino. He launched a new album and a successful TV show in 2016 that are both ginormous successes. It's the first rapper to have a hit show and an album in the same year. Now, do we not list him with the best rappers of at least the of this era because his name is Childish Gambino?
I think his name is really stupid. First of all, I always thought it was stupid. But with that said, Childish Gambino / Mr. Glover is a perfect example that I might need to take vitamins, because I have no idea where he finds the energy to do that, man. Yeah. Like, how do you find the energy to kill two separate genres when people have trouble doing one?
I know.
That's first of all. Second of all, Calvin, again, I might have to go look for the white old man orthopedic shoes, because I don't understand this latest Childish Gambino album, brother. I heard the rave reviews. And I'm like, let me check it out, you know? And it's so disco-fied, I don't get it, man. I don't get it. It's over my head. I'll throw another person in there, Chance the Rapper, from Ultra Beam Lights on Kanye's album, where everybody was jerking off to that song. I'm like, man, I don't get this. I don't get what the excitement is over it. I'm over the hill, I suppose. But good for Kanye. Good for Chance. But Sean, no comprende.
So when that security guard for the San Diego Chargers was doing his business in front of the cheerleaders, do you think he had ultralight beams playing over and over again in his mind?
Oh, jeez, yeah, I heard about that. Lord have mercy. I don't even want to know what he was thinking. Degenerate scumbag. Lord have mercy.
But you know what? I don't know if you've seen the show Atlanta. Well, I know a lot of people have, but I myself, I'm close to being finished the first season of it. But it's quality. Yeah, man, it's definitely quality. You know, he definitely gets his props 100%.
Yeah, I'll take a look at that.
Yeah, definitely. And so yeah, he gets an MVP nod just because, again, like how do you knock out two out like an album and a top TV show that's completely different from anything that's on TV as well on top of that. And you know what? I've heard him freestyle on like Sway and different shows and stuff. The guy's a phenomenal freestyler, man. Regardless of what you feel about his talent in terms of if you like it or not, or if he's your bag, a cup of tea or whatever. Yo, that guy honestly is talented as hell, man. I'll give him credit for that.
I did see that as well. I have seen freestyles where he bodied it, but it's just that, like, I heard reviews of his album where people were like saying how amazing it was.
And you're thinking he's rapping?
I was expecting rapping. Yo, I don't know if he spit a bar on album from what I heard.
Yeah, I don't think he did.
I went from song to song, and it was one, you know, strobe light song to the other. I was like, okay. This is just not my cup of Java. I do not get it, man.
Just taking creative chances, man. So, I mean, as an artist, I see it. I can respect that. Yeah, I mean, I just think the album's okay. But, you know, again, the fact that it's it's getting rave reviews in both genres, both completely different genres. I think it's that's amazing. Last but not least, the city of Toronto. Now, Sean, I live in this city. Don't fuck up this choice for me, Sean. Don't you fuck this up.
Okay, listen, Dave.
Listen, before I, you know, I come down my stairs for Christmas and have dudes open up presents and eating cereal with their feet up on my kitchen counter. Talking about, yo, certain mans are talking greasy still.
Yeah, trust me.
Yo, your man.
I don't want my Toronto pass revoked. So
no. You know,
I'll be kind.
Mans like Sean need to change their words, guy. Or,
yeah, trust me, guy.
Sending the wolves out coming for your head top still, guy. Seen? You know.
Yeah, listen. Realistically, I tell you what. You guys won to me for multiple reasons. Toronto wins. Why does Toronto win? You guys are the only city in Canada that the United States will acknowledge. As far as the U.S. is concerned, the Canadian map is just an island. It's Toronto and water around it. So because of that,
the whole country is Toronto, basically, right?
Exactly. Because it's Toronto Island, and everything else around it is wasteland.
And so, yeah, you ever go to that suburb called Montreal? What about that region called Calgary?
Exactly. Is that part of Toronto? Nope. Are you sure? No.
Well, yeah, that's not to Scarborough. It's not to Scarborough. That's what it seems like, right?
Exactly. I don't think it exists. So, realistically, for that alone you win. Not to mention the fact, again, that you have multiple artists that are blowing from there. The Tory Lanez. I'll even give honorable mention to Belly. He might be from Ottawa. But man, he's making moves, and I don't know why. I think it's because he's down with, what's his name? EXO.
Yeah, I know you're talking about The Weeknd.
Yeah, I think he wrote songs for The Weeknd. But man, Belly's everywhere. I see people taking Instagram. I see Jada Kiss. Yeah, me and my boy Belly taking, you know, Instagram pictures and hashtagging Belly. Toronto / Ontario in general are winning. You guys have Americans talking your slang. Whoever saw that coming from a mile away? Yeah. You know, people talking ting, and Drake got people talking about mandem and what's his face Weeknd talking about I'm a star boy. Man, Calvin, if you told me to bet my life on this 10 years ago, I would have bet. I would have been like, put all my money on that. That's not going to happen.
And yeah.
Man, so Toronto, you get the thumbs up. You guys win. Rest of Canada should take a blueprint, you know, take a note from your blueprint, man, and copy that and follow that, because, man, you guys found a way to do something that I never thought was possible, man.
Yeah, the music scene has flourished on a major level, and it's making pop culture waves right now. You mentioned those guys like the Drakes, The Weeknd. You got Party Next Door, Tory Lanez, of course, Roy Woods, Jazz Cartier. You know, like there's a bunch of artists making major moves. The festivals in this city has gone to another level, from OVO Fest to TIFF, Carabana, all the music and art festivals like Manifestos. Too many to count, to be quite honest. The sports scene is on fire right now. You know, coming off the bat flip, the Jays made their second straight run to the World Series. You know, they lost again in the championship series, though. They're one of the most exciting teams in baseball. Now, they're probably not going to re-sign Batista and Edwin Encarnacion. Jeez, I can't see his name. That's the liquor talking. the Raptors came off their best season in team history. They won 56 games. They made their first Eastern Conference Finals, even though they lost to the Cavs. It was, you know, a very great showing that they had. They sent both DeRozan and Kyle Lowry to the All-Star game that was hosted here, and I'll get to that in a second. And Lowry being the third Raptor to make an All-NBA team. Both players won gold at the Olympics for Team USA. They're in the midst right now of the Raptors' best run in team history. You know, the Leafs still suck, but, you know, they may have picked up a phenom in Austin Matthews. Toronto FC just made it all the way to the MLS Cup before losing to the Seattle Sounders in the shootout. The NBA All-Star Game finally came to Toronto. Finally. with a smashing success, as you saw, because I know you were here that weekend too. It completely took over the city, except for the cold. Holy shit, it was cold as hell.
Yeah,
my God.
Mother Nature was a hater that weekend.
That was one of the coldest weekends ever, honestly. And the joke is, the whole winter was a great winter. Like, yeah, the weather was, it was unusually warm this winter, except for that one weekend. That
hey,
one
it was
weekend.
Warm Monday after that, right?
Yeah. So I know, I remember the consensus was, my God, Toronto knocked out the All-Star weekend. Oh, it was an amazing weekend. But holy smokes, is it cold as hell. Oh, Canada's Canada. You know what I mean? Like, we just got ripped by the Americans for that. And everybody's like, man, are you serious? If you came the weekend before or after, like, this would have been the greatest weekend ever. The celebs were all over the place despite the cold. The city did many cool things, like converting a streetcar into a mobile store. The Jordan brand pop-up store that came up on Yonge Street that was open for 96 hours straight, which Jordan himself made an appearance a couple of times. There were like
Jordan
five
made an appearance in that cold.
He did, man. He popped up. He popped up in the pop-up store. There were like 5 million parties to go to.
It's a real shame though. I mean, you really can't stress how much the weather affected that weekend. Because me personally, I just went from hotel to car to party to anywhere and don't, like, there was no Lyman, there was no nothing unnecessary as
no,
far as
it,
hanging
it was,
out for me.
It was like minus 40.
Yeah,
it was like
it was
minus
cool.
40 the whole weekend, man. You literally did not take more than like 10 steps at one time outside. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's a buzz in the city that I've seen few times since I moved to Toronto here. It was an incredible weekend, man. It was a raving success, and I hope it doesn't take like another 20 years or so before they get it again. The city of Toronto they get the two thumbs up, the daps, the emoji, you know, the hands in the air, everything, man. It's just
gunshot, lick a fire.
Mm-hmm. Beat the wall, everything, man. Everything. they won. They won resoundingly this year as a city. And just to close off here, I got and my honorable mention as well. I shouldn't even say honorable mention, but I'm just gonna touch on them real quick. Ava DuVernay and Issa Rae. Ava DuVernay directed Selma. This year she dropped her Queen Sugar show, which was high in quality. It was really good. And she directed the amazing 13th documentary, which is a much watch on Netflix. I implore everybody.
Issa Rae
did? Sorry?
Who did Issa Rae?
No, Ava DuVernay.
Okay.
Yeah, it was. I don't know if you've seen it, but if whoever hasn't seen it, it's a must watch.
Yes, I saw that.
Please watch that. That's an amazing documentary.
It's amazing in a depressing way, but yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. And Issa Rae, fresh off the explosive web series Awkward Black Girl, she created, produced, and co-wrote HBO's Insecure, which is about the awkward experiences of a contemporary African-American woman, as they say. So she recently was nominated for a Golden Globe Award for her performance, which will make history if she wins. So
yeah,
shout out to the two of them as well. They also get a MVP nods for that as well, just for the work.
She won't win, but I mean, it's a nice nod anyway.
But you know, regardless of the fact, I mean, again, it's the creativity level, man. It's game changing what everybody's doing now, at least the ones that are in this power position. So
while you're giving out honorable mentions, let's give out a notable failure mention to Soulja Boy for 2016, for his spiral into the pathetic abyss of social media ridiculousness that he's been doing. The last I heard was he got released because initially he got arrested for flashing guns, and I think that apparently he got released because it turns out some of his guns weren't real. So while he's been threatening people online, he's been threatening people with props. And it's just, let's just have a moment of, I won't say silence, but just a moment of ridicule for Soulja Boy.
You want to pour a little brandy out for
him? Yeah, no, he's not worth the brandy. No, I got to save that.
You got to ingest that.
Yeah, definitely.
But,
so.
But with Soulja Boy, I mean, it doesn't really surprise you, to be honest. At least it doesn't surprise me, just because, again, he's like a child actor, man. You know, like that theory with child, with like with making superstars out of children or teenagers. You know, when they become, when they get into adulthood, man, like if they don't have that same amount of success or more, it there's usually a downfall there. And even when they are successful, it's usually some sort of a pitfall or a downfall. Like, yep. like any of my kids, if they become famous, I want it to be when they become an adult, because, sure. And even that's hard to handle too. Right. But I just feel like child actors, man, usually they're the ones that are usually the most messed up. So sure. So even though he's not an actor, I mean, he's, you know, he was a rapper, but I mean, same thing, same principles apply. Who's your nominees for possible MVPs for 2017?
Possible MVPs for 2017. I haven't thought about that. Off the top of the head, I'll say Drake's gonna resurface at that point. Mm-hmm. I think there's a really strong chance that, and maybe I'm caught up in the moment now with the whole NFL thing, but the whole Dak Prescott Ezekiel Elliott train, I don't know. It doesn't seem to be much stopping that.
Yeah. Great, I mean, story.
So we'll see the Dallas Cow. I won't even say, I'll say the Dallas Cowboys, I'll say, mm-hmm. because, you know, their fans are insane. Actually, I'll let you tell me while I think of it, because I'm just winging it now. The Cowboys ain't going to be big in 20. Ain't that big in 2017? But I'm just throwing out things based on what I was recently thinking about. So maybe you could tell me, and then I'll actually have to think about an answer to that question.
All right. So for 2017, I'll give a couple of the nominees here. I think J. Cole might be one. The fact that he just dropped an album and created such a major buzz in the last couple of weeks. It's too late to give him the nod for 2016, but you never know what happens with 2017. I think the real impact of his album is gonna trickle into the new year. So we'll see what comes from that. Young M.A. might be another one too. You know, she definitely created a buzz this summer, and then she had her Eat video. She had her Eat video just recently, about a few weeks ago, about a month ago. And that started, you know, making major waves all over social media and everything else. So
yeah, that was dope, actually.
Yeah, and honestly, it was a 90-ish feel. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't a lot of frills to it, but you rocked with it just the same. Like, it felt like something like DMX would have did back in the late 90s or something, right? Just him, a mic, and that's it. You know, so I thought that was actually dope. And I'll nominate Russell Westbrook, because I actually think he might win the MVP, especially if OKC is going to win 50 games. You know, especially if he goes out and he averages a triple-double. If that actually happens, yeah, he's got to get an MVP nod from me.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I mean, with that, let me think who I would add to that. I'm going to add, I think that Donald Trump's going to have a huge 2016. He's going to be the big loser of the year. I think that he's going to reveal himself to be the hype machine he is. 2017, sorry. No one comes to mind, to be honest with you, that he's going to have an amazing 2017. I'll have to get back to you later on when I put more thought to it. But I would say that, you know, the usual suspects, I think, are going to have a big year. I have a feeling, and I have faith in humanity, that certain things that we pay, you know, we put on a certain pedestal or level of importance this year are going to start fading out. I feel that the Kardashians are going to start to fade out a little bit. You know what I mean? Certain people like Khaled, who was on 2016, I have a feeling there's only so long we could be impressed with the same repetitive hashtags, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The same repetitive shtick. I'm just hoping, and all these challenges, I'm hoping a lot of the things that we mentioned in 2016 kind of phase out a little bit in 2017, and that we go back to things that are more, you know, more full of substance. You know, as like you mentioned, that there are, we did see certain things surfacing that did have substance, like, you know, like you said, Easter Ratio, and, you know, 13, and certain things that, you know, did provide the antithesis, more so, I was trying to say, of, you know, some of the things that we kind of found corny in 2016. So let's just hope that trend continues and we see the increase of more things of substance in 2017. Let's just say that.
And I'll ask the final question. Do you think there's a redemption story for Kanye West in 2017?
Man, I think personally Kanye, it's possible, but Kanye needs some medication. Man. Yeah. I think at this point,
It's sad to be quite honest.
I can't even
make fun of it, honestly.
I think
it's sad.
No, that wasn't, I was chuckling, but that wasn't making fun of it. Mm-hmm. I really think he needs medication, I'm not joking. And I think that in order for him to get a handle on whatever it is that he's got going on, he needs to address whatever mental issues he has. You know, his boy Skyzu was credited for writing some of Kanye's stuff, said the exact same thing, that, you know, he thinks that he might have stopped taking some meds he needs. And I think that's really it. We witnessed a man spiraling, his mental condition, you know, spiraling out of control in front of us.
Yeah.
On stage, he did it with a microphone, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That plus the fact that he has that ultimate hype machine / magnifying glass that's put on him because of the Kardashians and stuff, man. It's like he's not in a good situation. So
yeah, it doesn't help. It doesn't help, yeah, for sure. But you know, let's hope he gets the help that he needs, because I mean, yeah, I'm not off for the rants and everything else, but I do love his music still, you know, for the most part. You know, The Life of Pablo was, you know, for all intents and purposes, a very good album, you know. And I liked it.
I liked it.
I'm not saying it's his best work, but I liked it, though. I love Father Stretch My Hands. I think that's probably what carries it for me the most. I could listen to that song all day. But it's, you know, it's a situation where, like I said again, you hope he gets the help that he needs. And other than that, Sean, brother, thank you, man, for blessing your presence with another podcast,
with another grumpy presence.
but thank you, sir, man. Thank you so much for coming out here today.
Well, thanks for having me, man. I like to continue to spread my cheer and joy to all of your listeners, and hope that, you know, my joy was infectious and they all feel a little bit better about themselves,
man. Yeah, yes, sir. And once again, just the fact that, you know, started this podcast back in March, you know, that you've been like one of like the core guests, more or less. You know, you've been on a few episodes and stuff, and they've always, you know, they've always received a lot of love for the most part. And, you know, like, you know, I hope that continues going forward, man, 2017 for sure.
Well, thank you, brother, and I appreciate the invite. And you know, I hope that I can continue to, you know, provide content and what have you, and be involved in the whole process. I love what you're doing, man. So, yeah, definitely.
Nah, thank you, man. Thank you, sir. So, yeah, man. So, happy New Year, happy holidays, all that good stuff.
Yeah, you too, brother.
All right. I'd like to thank Sean for coming through and discussing the last podcast of 2016 with me. Most importantly, I'd like to thank all of you, the listeners, for continuing to tune in with every podcast. To say that it's appreciated is a big understatement, of course. I truly thank all of you for all the love, the support, and the feedback as well. And I'd like to thank all of my guests that's come on this year, including my core set of guests that's been established in the last few months. From my first guest, Big Brother Kurt, to my past contributors, DJ Chris Nice, Headley, Sean Adonis, Kevin W. for starters. All in all, I feel like it's been a great beginning so far, and I look forward to a great 2017 in terms of more podcast shows and ideas, blog write-ups, and more. Just make sure once again to tune in to the podcast shows and the blog. Make sure you subscribe. Remember to subscribe right here to SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. I wish all of you a happy holidays and an incredible new year. Make sure you have a great time with your loved ones, your friends, your family. Stay safe. If you're drinking, call a cab or an Uber. Don't be foolish now. Call that cab or click that app. Take that Uber. Once again, my name is Cal C. And this is the AV Podcast on South Shore AV Radio. Until 2017, folks, peace. We out.